Well, we're going to finish up Thesis 9 from Walther's Law and Gospel this morning. It might go just a minute longer because I'd like to finish all of this up. Thesis 9 continues the idea of not pointing someone to their own self to get them back into grace, but pointing them to the office of the keys, actually. Now, if you studied your catechism, you'll recognize that term. It's demonstrated in so many places, even on our wall of apostles behind me, the symbol of St. Peter, top left, right? If you're looking at it. Two keys, you see. One to loose sins, the other to bind them. Now, the office of the keys isn't given to a specific pastor or a person, but it is given to the entire church. And from there, as servants of the church, pastors are given the special authority to exercise the office. The office of the keys is this: that the church, by the authority of Christ and not of man, forgives the sins of the repentant person and withholds the forgiveness of sins from those who refuse to repent. It means that if you are repenting of your sins, if you are turning from them, desiring them no more, the command has been given by Christ to the church to forgive those sins in His name. It is not a power held by one person, but that we each can sit in the office and exercise the duties thereof. Now, if you're having a hard time with this, maybe it'll help this way. In our United States, we have had 45 different men, different presidents of the United States, who have all occupied the office of the presidency, right? Each with their own skills, each with their own talents and abilities, each with their own sins and shortcomings. And no matter how long they last in that office, they still serve as the president while they are elected. Okay? The office is the position that gives the authority to act in the role. The office of the keys, then, confers, it gives the authority to act, specifically in regards to sin. Now, when a pastor speaks the absolution and that forgiveness out of the office of the keys, during the divine service or in private confession, we hear that as the voice of Christ Himself. And we all really actually can do this for each other. When my wife forgives me, which believe me, I need it often, it is the voice of Christ speaking through her that my sins are forgiven. And when I sin against my children and they look at me and they say, not even knowing fully what it means, that they forgive me, it is Christ speaking through Eli's voice. When we gather as the church, then, it is not that we forgive each other our sins going around and doing this, but that you have elected one man to do so. We put one man in front of us to speak for Jesus for the sake of good order. Now, the church does this. It can do this. Excuse me. Because Christ took every sin to Himself, and He counts them as His own. And also that Christ erased the record of sins for the whole world. And also that the Father approved of the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice by raising Him from the dead. And also that Christ, now having the sins of the world upon Himself, owning those sins and doing what He wishes with them, commands that we preach the forgiveness of sins to every person. See, we have the authority to do this. We do. And it's an amazing thing because it places the church in a convenient and enviable task of being a presence outside of a person that assures them of the love and forgiveness of Christ toward them. Remember, we talked about this, that we need something from outside of us, not from inside. Well, the church itself in this way acts as a presence outside a person that preaches to them the forgiveness of sins. This is an amazingly comforting doctrine. That when you're truly terrified of your sins, if you're honest with yourself, you should be terrified, by the way, that God has sent a person, really any person, but specifically your pastor, to hear your confession and to pronounce the absolution of Christ to you, you personally. And your only duty in this is actually to believe the words that are spoken, that they are the very words of Christ speaking to you. It is a shame in our American Lutheran church body that we have let private confession fall to the wayside. It is there if ever you should need this, by the way. If any sin is particularly burdening you, or if you just want to hear Jesus speaking to you, avail yourself of this. I'll do it for anyone, anywhere. But you see, even though you might be comforted in confession and absolution, the reality is this: absolution is not dependent on how you feel. It is real for you, and it is to you when it is announced. You don't have to feel forgiven. You don't even have to feel as if you got everything off of your conscience. Christ forgives sinners without anything being done on their part. Repentance is a work of faith, a gift from God. It brings to you the forgiveness of sins. Going from that place and living sanctified lives, yes, you do that in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. But receiving the gift of God is His work alone in you. That's why we sometimes say that confession is sort of our third sacrament in the church. Because like the other two, baptism and the supper, it is the word of God which comes from outside of you to deliver to you the gifts of God. We don't trust ourselves or our feelings. Instead, we need to turn to the word of God to determine what our feelings are. If you are convicted under the law, you should feel sorrow. If you are repentant, you should feel expectation. If you are forgiven, you should feel joyful. This information comes from outside of you. Therefore, you know it is true. It informs you of who you are in Christ Jesus. Of course, the unrepentant person won't care about any of this. They won't search the Word of God, but they are going to rely upon themselves for their own forgiveness. This is why the church would bind their sins to them. Not in anger, right? Not in haste, but threatens them that if they will not turn, they will spend eternity in hell. And this is not because we hate them, but because we love them. And we want to scare them straight with the law, right into the arms of Christ. While this doctrine is a heavy burden that must be exercised rightly, it is not just mere stuff. This is the stuff of life. And we would do well to ponder the office of the keys rightly and often. Let us pray. Lord God, bless your word wherever it is proclaimed. Make it a word of power and peace to convert those not yet your own, and to confirm those who have come to saving faith. May your word pass from the ear to the heart, from the heart to the lip, and from the lip to the life, that as you have promised, your word may achieve the purpose for which you send it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in his peace.